WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I live downtown, which was part of the inspiration for Baltimore Positive, and we're always keeping calm and staying local. And on the other end of downtown, we walk by it so many times, near Little Italy, it is the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. It's a mouthful, and Jackie Copeland is the executive director. Don Moeller, of course, joining us here on Baltimore Positive. And Don, before we get going, I'm going to allow you and every one of these to talk about the inspiration here during the pandemic and the crisis, to talk about all of these segments we're going to be doing this week on Baltimore Positive.
Well, Nestor, as you know, and we talk about it a lot, and I'm delighted that Jackie really is our inaugural visit from the members of the arts and cultural institutions in the city of Baltimore. But they're so important not only to Baltimore, but beyond, to the region. It's one of the reasons that Baltimore County has been so supportive of the arts community, putting millions of dollars every year in its budget, knowing that the impact of these museums goes well, well beyond Baltimore City. And Nestor, before we go any further, you and I usually produce these Baltimore Positive segments, but we did not produce these art segments. That went to a good friend of mine, former communications specialist in Baltimore County, Fronda Cohen, who was really our liaison to the arts and science community, headed up the Arts and Science Commission for Kevin Kamenetz and for myself when we were in county government. Fronda has just, I know that Jackie knows her, just a true champion of the arts. So I thank Fronda up front, thank all our sponsors. And with that, Jackie, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Well, thank you. It is a pleasure to be talking with both of you.
Well,
it's a great thing. It's a great thing that you're doing, this Baltimore Positive.
Well,
absolutely.
You changed your life a year ago, right? You take a gig and being in front of an incredible, sort of iconic place in downtown Baltimore for people to come and explore. Talk a little bit about taking the gig and where this was going before the pandemic. And I think everyone's had to readjust everything in every space, including here at Baltimore Positive, about what we're going to be during this pandemic and then after this pandemic.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's a beautiful building on the corner of President and Pratt Street. And it has a great collection inside. And we've been doing some great things inside in terms of exhibitions that we've held, in terms of programs that we've held, our outreach to schools. So we've really built a lot of momentum until the pandemic came. And, you know, I guess it's all of us are doing the same thing, trying to figure out how to navigate through that and then to figure out what we're going to be like when we reopen.
And you all, I mean, it's a significant museum. You opened it in 2005. You have over 10,000 objects. Tell folks, Jackie, who may not be familiar with the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, what they encounter when they come in. Talk to them. I guess they always give us the four dummies version. Why, as soon as we're freed up and we can go places, why should we run down there and check out your museum?
Well, you know, everyone should come. First of all, I'm a big believer in museums because we are the repository of arts and culture in our cities and states and our nation. And this museum, and you said the name, it's a long one, the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. It takes the name of Reginald Lewis, who was a Baltimorean, and he had the first $1 billion leverage buyout on Wall Street. And his foundation gave us money for the endowment to name the museum. What folks will see there is, number one, a beautiful structure. But what they will also see is a magnificent collection of our history. And it's certainly African-American history, going back to like 1790s up until the present day. But I don't want folks to think that it's just African-American history, because it's all of our histories. You know, what happened to Black folks happened to white folks. So it is a collection for everyone to see and everyone to experience.
For you with the museum and the things we can currently do right now, obviously being closed down, we can come down there. So many places and spaces, not just museums, but almost everyone. And as you well know, Jackie, I was in the sports business. We can't replicate that, although we're trying with esports and old videos and whatnot. But a lot of your stuff from an educational standpoint, not from a touching what a child might want to see, or but the educational part, that's all still there. And I guess one of the questions, and certainly Don and I have talked a lot about this in the aftermath of Freddie Gray, people coming back to museums of any kind in Baltimore, but specifically children, which all of these museums, I think about the now defunct Sports Legends Museum and other museums that were designed to say, this is a field trip. And little known fact here, although our audience knows it, Jackie, Don was my high school guidance counselor in 1982.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So he comes from an educational background. And I remember all these field trips and different things that I did as a child, coming to downtown at the Science Center, coming down to the aquarium as a child, and wanting to live downtown, and I do now. Yeah. But for children, does every child in the Baltimore City school system get to come to your museum every year or two? I mean, is there a child in the 10th or 11th grade who's never been to your museum? I would find that to be a tragedy if that's true here in Baltimore.
Well, it probably is. It is a tragedy because, you know, the schools have suffered through less funding as well. They don't have the money they used to have to take field trips. Things happen in our cities, and the administrators said, well, we won't go into Baltimore because this happened or that happened. And so they're not able to come like they used to. But, you know, if we can get more money in the schools for more field trips, they should be coming, because what they can see at our museum, they don't get in the history books. People come there and say, I didn't know that. And that's why it's so important to come to this museum. So now that, you know, we're closed, people can't come. As you say, they can't come, they can't touch, they can't see the things. So we're shifting and delivering our content virtually through the internet, to teachers, to students, to parents, so that their appetites can be whetted, and then they'll want to come back.
Well, Jackie, I know you have, and you all, along with so many of the other institutions in Baltimore, which is such a positive story in itself, you all have made a real effort during this pandemic to promote online access. If I'm at home, all these moms and dads, Nestor just, you know, recently talked with both my daughter and my son, who are, you know, doing their best to homeschool my grandchildren at this time. But if folks are home and they're saying, I really want to expose my kids to some culture during this, how do they access the collection that's available at the Reginald Museum, at the Reginald Lewis Museum? How do they find it?
Yeah, well, first, they should go to our website, lewismuseum.org, and we have an online collections portal. We have almost 7,000 objects that people can look at, read about. They can hear blogs on our website. They should also follow us on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. But for school kids and parents who want that information, that content that they will use in school, go to the website, because we have some good content that is really valuable for school kids.
Well, I'm on the website right now, so I'm going to give you a fun plug here, because, Don, you know me. I'm the explorer, right? Like, I can't go to the library without pulling out some books, right? So I'm on the website, and something that really speaks to me, because I'm a real Baltimorean, Jackie, would be the A-Rabbers. And Roland Freeman's A-Rabbers, Life in the Baltimore Streets. This was on display, and I hope that it still comes back when we're open, but this is part of, like, Baltimore, right? I mean, and you start to think about the African-American experience here, and going back to slavery and a border state and all that. I'm sure it's how far back does it go to Baltimore and African-Americans here?
Well, we actually have things that go back to like 1784. 1784, you know, documenting Africans who were in this area, in the state of Maryland, in Baltimore. And we're 15 years old as a museum this year. As you said, we opened in 2005, and we go up to 2020.
I remember the night you opened. It was a big deal.
a beautiful ceremony. I mean, it's an important museum. I'll tell you that the National Museum, the one that's on the mall in D.C., Lonnie Bunch and some of his administrators would visit our museum you know, to get ideas. So we're just a small microcosm of Maryland, of what that museum is to the nation.
Well, I know we're going to be saying this over and over in the next few days, but I am really inspired and about what the arts community is doing during this pandemic. And Nestor and I talk a lot, Jackie, that it's easy to get down. It's easy to get frustrated with what's going on. But there are so many nuggets of inspiration. And the thought that families could really connect with African-American history through this museum in a way that they might not in the busy, you know, day-to-day activity of non-pandemic, but now that we're home as a family, we can really sit down around the computer and, as Nestor, as you said, introduce our children and grandchildren to the history of the Arabs in Baltimore and other important pieces of African-American history, right? We can really make this a cornerstone of the education that's taking place over the next month or two.
Well, that's exactly what we think, of course. And, you know, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, oh, I've been there, I came as a child. But I have other people that say, oh, you know, that's such a great building. And when I drive by, I wonder what's inside. And I said, you know, you need to come inside.
Come down and visit us.
Come and visit us. We are going to have some great exhibitions once we reopen. And, you know, I'll say this. The cultural leaders in the city of Baltimore and the state are talking to each other, and we're all wondering what we're going to be like when we reopen. So we collaborate. We're thinking about it together. And it's important for our visitors to come back to museums and, of course, to come back to our museum, because what they're missing by staying at home, they're missing the things that feed our souls, and that's music and dance and poetry and history and all these things that you'll see at museums. So they're going to want to come back and see what all these museums have to offer, but especially the Reginald Lewis Museum.
As an art historian, you know, all the years that you've been doing this in different ways, what has online brought to that? I mean, other than the value of the Mona Lisa, which we've all seen and a picture of it, and, you know, being, believe it or not, right this moment, I was supposed to be in Amsterdam at the Van Gogh Museum with my wife. I was supposed to be in Europe this week and doing the tulips and all of that. We had Anne Frank tickets, and I know Don. That's also, so we're saving that for the next time. But those were things when I think about being in Amsterdam 15 years ago, before there was an online or before there was all of that, that I can go see those things now online virtually, where maybe 20, 30 years ago, that was something where you had to get on a plane, you had to fly to the Louvre, you had to go to those places. The world is much more open now, I think, from an art history perspective, right, of what we can learn at our fingertips, literally.
That's exactly true. And we put all these things online so that people can be in control of their own learning, be in control of what they want to see. And it's another way of us opening our doors to everyone. So if you can't walk in physically through the doors, you can walk in through our online portal doors and see all the things, all the treasures that we have. You know, we have a letter that was written. It wasn't a letter, actually. It's a paper that freed a woman who was an enslaved woman in Frederick, Maryland. And it's the paper that her owner freed her with in 1808. These are the documents. That's one of the documents we have online.
Wow. Well, speaking of that, Jackie, you mentioned that actually gives me goosebumps, makes my hair stand up, gives me goosebumps. But it leads me to another question. Is there, personally for you, and you know that museum inside and out now, is there a piece of art or an exhibition in your time there that's really touched you in a special way? I mean, you said, man, it really moves me, that you could share with our listener. And again, if you're listening, we're with Jackie Copeland, Executive Director of the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. But is there a piece, Jackie, that's touched you, or an exhibit that you thought, man, this is really special?
Well, you know, there was an exhibit that we had, and this time it didn't come from our collection, but it's an exhibit that came from another museum, and it was on Black memorabilia, and those objects that were in that exhibition were kind of negative and derogatory images of African Americans that existed in our country at the turn of the century, the late 19th and early 20th century. Why that exhibition was interesting, not because of the negative things that were portrayed, but the history that it told people. So older adults, especially African Americans, would come and say, oh yeah, I remember that, I remember that. But then younger people would come and say, I never knew that. And then what we do is we have programs, and we had a really interesting program called Talks and Thoughts, Blackface and Its Legacy. A diverse audience came in, and we had conversations about these kinds of things. So it's an opportunity to engage with our audiences, conversations about relative topics, whether those kinds of issues still exist today. So what was history? Is it still prevalent today? So I look at exhibitions to help us spur our thinking about the times in which we still live. So that was a seminal moment for me, and I think for many people who came to the museum.
Well, Jackie, I mean, obviously in this country it's impossible to not talk about race, and it's impossible to look at your museum and not see the differences from where we were and where we are. And I would think that any young child could come in there and maybe say, I can't believe this happened, right? And to some degree, every one of us needs to stand up right now and say, can't let that happen again. And I think that that's really what this time is about. And that's, if I was bringing a young child through there, I would want them, even though it's frightening, even though it's awful, even though it's derogatory, even though the history isn't pretty, I think in an era where we're all fighting for what is true, that the truth is, I can't believe it happened. Let's make sure it doesn't happen again.
Exactly. But I don't want you to think that everything in our collection is that way.
Of course not.
We have things that are celebratory. The first African-American who was a nursing student at College Park, something on Thurgood Marshall. So the arts are there, you know, the beautiful paintings and sculptures that celebrate the achievements. So, you know, we start with those, you know, more challenging times, but we can celebrate our achievements elsewhere. Benjamin Banneker. These are great stories that kids and adults can learn about.
Well, Jackie, along those lines, has there been, and I'm sorry, if there's not, but I'm thinking there probably was in your year there, there's been someone who came into the museum or some group that was touched by a piece or an exhibit, and their reaction made an imprint on you. Has there been someone or a group that came through and had a reaction, and you thought, this is why I do this?
I think when I talked about that exhibition about blackface, certainly the comments that we got during the discussion impacts us, and we knew that we were doing something significant. Other talks and thoughts that we did one on monuments and sculptures really do matter. And, you know, that was about the taking down of the Confederate sculptures. We did one on Colin Kaepernick. Is he the Rosa Parks of his generation?
Well, I saw that. And, you know, I come from a sports background, and it's been a heck of a conversation we've had here for the last 2.5 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so those kinds of conversations. But on the flip side, we have beautiful art exhibitions as well. So we just closed an exhibition on Elizabeth Catlett, who is a 20th century African-American sculptor and printmaker. And people who came to that were overwhelmed by the beauty of her sculptures. It was really a magnificent exhibition that was selected by the Baltimore Sun as the best exhibition in all the museums in the city of Baltimore in 2019. So we're very proud of that. So, yeah, there are many things that happen that say to us, boy, we're doing the right thing. And when those moments happen, they're wonderful, especially sometimes it's kids' letters. You know, they were on a field trip. They send us these letters and the drawings. And those are so impactful for us.
Oh, wow. Jackie, how many people visit the museum annually?
About 55,000.
Wow.
Tom, yeah. And, you know, I'd like to see more. And hopefully after this podcast, we'll get more people once we emerge on the other side of this pandemic.
Let's talk about the other side, because one of the things that Nestor and I say all the time, and we're just upfront about it, is this museum, the same way as the restaurants and the other cultural and arts institutions in the city, they're not just for city residents. And we say to people that live in Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County, Harford County, Howard County, you name it, get in the car when this is over. Do yourself a favor. Feel good about what's available in Baltimore City. There, we have one of the greatest cities in the United States of America, and we will get past these challenging times. We know we have issues with crime and other things, but we're going to come out stronger, just like we're going to come out stronger on the other side of this pandemic. And your museum is there to help make people feel good about coming in.
Absolutely. You know, we work closely with Visit Baltimore, the Downtown Partnership, trying to make Baltimore a livable city, a viable city, a city that people want to come and have their conferences and have their reunions. And I think we play a big role in that.
What do you look forward to the most, Jackie, when the governor and the president, whoever, says, okay, folks, we're going to ring that victory bell?
Yeah,
I'm going to run over to Catonsville and hug Don Mohler. That's the first thing I'm going to do, Jackie.
We're going to hug each other. What are you looking forward to the most when this thing is open on part of the museum?
Yeah, I look forward to us opening the doors and welcoming our visitors and thinking about the new ways that we're going to be doing things. I'm not sure that we're going to be doing things the exact same way that we did them before we had this pandemic. People might be a little bit more hesitant to be in large crowds. So how are we going to adjust? But thinking about that, working with our visitors and welcoming them to see our exhibitions and programs, that's going to be a really happy and momentous day for us.
Well, we appreciate your time and coming on with us. We're having all of the art folks on this week, as many of the art institutions have been shuttered by the pandemic and the COVID-19. Don Mohler, of course, and I, sponsored by State Fair over in Catonsville, where the chicken and the waffles are going to go down even better. I got to steal that recipe from Evan Brown while we're waiting it out. Fadley, shipping crab cakes. Talk about things in Baltimore. If you love Baltimore, if you love the museum, if you love anything about Baltimore, chances are you love crab cakes. Fadley's has been our great sponsor. They have been also shut down at the Lexington Market. They're also expanding to Catonsville. They're expanding into the new Lexington Market. But in the meantime, you can have them shipped by going to Fadley's and Fadley's.com, and they will be glad to send them off to you. And, of course, Mohler and Gary Realty. If Jeff Mohler was with us this week, and I asked Jeff Mohler the always eternal question, when this is all over with, is he going to hug his mother or his father first? And he refused to answer that, and he didn't even make me ask you how many of the seven grandchildren, which one you're going to hug first. He assured me he had a right arm and a left arm for each one of you, Don. So
I think you raised him right. I think he said in a very political way that he had two arms. But I want to remind people, Lewis, you're out there in that car right now. You're listening to Baltimore Positive. You say, man, we've got to get the family down to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. It's lewismuseum.org. Go there virtually right now, and then as soon as they reopen, rush down there. Jackie, what do you want? Give us your real quick infomercial, what you want to say to folks who are listening and why they get them on down there.
Oh, just remember that our museum, as well as other museums in the city and the state, like I said before, they really fill a place in our heart and soul that you can't get by. Well, I love going to restaurants. You know, you got food, but, you know, the arts and the culture feed your soul. So come down, be entertained, learn some things, and just, you know, find a quiet spot to meditate if that's what you want to do as well.
Well, there's plenty of that downtown. I love it.
Yeah, we can do all of those things.
Thank you very, very much for your time. I was trying to get the logo up, so I was going to put it up here on the front of the on the podcast here. But very available to find all of this stuff, all the exhibitions, all the information up there, and really a wealth of. I mean, your children could go and spend a few hours at lewismuseum.org and learning more about the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. I said it right twice. Jackie, take care of yourself here during this thing. Make sure you're washing your hands. We're telling everybody to do that.
Absolutely.
And stay safe, all right? We'll see you on the other side of this.
And thanks to both of you. All right.
Appreciate you. Big thanks to Front as well for putting all this together. Don Mohler and I doing Baltimore Positive. We'll be doing it all week long here with everyone in the arts community affected greatly by this pandemic and COVID-19. We're encouraging everybody to get out there and be a part of it. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. We're keeping calm, we're staying local, and we're always Baltimore Positive.